Hey there, I'm Heather Mulder, a former AmLaw 100 partner who, just 5 years into my legal career, found myself teetering on the edge of burnout. Instead of becoming yet another burnout statistic, I decided to redefine success on my own terms, enabling me to build a profitable legal practice while navigating the challenges of two kids, the 2008 financial crisis, and a battle with breast cancer. What I learned is that you can build a successful legal career without sacrificing your health or personal happiness. And I'm now on a mission to help lawyers do just that. Join me each week for practical, unfiltered advice on how to successfully navigate the challenging legal market and succeed in both life and law. This is the Life in Law Podcast. Hey there, it's Heather Mulder. Welcome to episode 3 of the Life in Law Podcast. Today we are talking about work-life balance. This is something we keep talking about in the legal industry, and yet very few people seem to have. I know this because after 18 years of practicing it myself, I mentored a lot over it. I talked incessantly about it with others. And frankly, I coach a lot of lawyers around this now. And I'm here to tell you that work-life balance, as we tend to think of it, doesn't really exist. But that's not a bad thing, I promise. We are going to go over what work-life balance really is so that we can figure out how to start creating more balance for you. So let's just dive right in and get right to it today. Number one, we tend to think about work-life balance as a seesaw or a scale that we're trying to equalize. Now, there are a number of problems with this that I believe cause us never to create the balance for our lives that we really want. So number one, we're compartmentalizing our life into two separate categories, work and everything else. And there's a whole lot of wrong with that because number one, you are an integrated human being. Everything is interrelated. There is no such thing as being able to compartmentalize work versus everything else. And let's be honest, work takes up more of your time than any of the other things really do, at least your awake time, right? And so when you focus on these two things, this leads into the second thing, which is time. Our focus is purely around time. We're focusing in on the amount of time, right? And by focusing on amount of time, it's obviously going to be out of whack and out of balance because the amount of time you spend working is going to be more than the amount of time you spend doing things with your kids or your family or charity work or hobbies or any of those other things. And so it automatically pits our work and our work life versus everything else, as though the two sides are fighting against one another. And I think this is one of the biggest reasons why we tend to feel so much guilt, especially as lawyers. We're high achievers. Work is important to us. We want to do well. We want to accomplish a lot. And we feel guilty around that because we pit the two sides against one another as though they can't work together, as though you have to choose one over the other. Well, I am here to tell you that you do not have to choose one over the other. And just because work, of course, takes up more time does not mean that the rest of your life has been relegated to second class. That's not what it means. But by looking at it this way, we think that. And so it creates more guilt. And then we keep focusing on the time aspect and that we can't equalize that seesaw. And it just creates kind of this internal fight. And here's the deal. Like, you chose to be a lawyer for a reason, right? There was purpose behind it. There was real passion there. When you start looking at it this way, you start disrespecting that piece of yourself that chose that. The strengths, the talents, those things that uniquely make you you and had you choose this profession in the first place. Which then, of course, brings on yet more guilt. And unfortunately, it creates a lot of either-or solutions. And so that's one of the big problems. This is why we don't find balance, because we're looking at it all wrong. And so the solutions aren't right either. I have a question for you. What if it had very little to do with the amount of time? We keep looking at it that way, right? And it's not working out so well for us. So how about we stop looking at it that way? What could the solutions be? Now, I am not saying that the amount of time doesn't matter at all. If you are spending 90% of your time working, your life is obviously out of whack. There is a problem there. I'm also not saying that being efficient with your time, having good time management strategies, looking to be more productive, that those aren't good things. Those are all great things, but they're not the foundational issue at the core of why we feel out of balance. And when we are only looking at those as solutions, we're never going to fix the problem. Those are things that you do after you figure out those underlying things and work on those. So they are helpful. I'm not saying we throw them out. But what I am saying is we start to shift our perception about what work-life balance really is so that we can actually create it for ourselves. Because this is another thing. We think of it as something that we have to find. So it's out there, right? It's not out there. It is to be created by you based on what you want out of your life, what you want out of your career. You create your own balance. All right. So life is complex, it's complicated, and it's very integrated. You are an integrated being. So I want you to stop thinking about the seesaw and instead start looking at your life more like a spider web. And you're in the middle of that web. And if a couple of things get frayed or come loose, it's not the end of the world. That's life. Things happen. Sometimes you get busier. Sometimes you have to push off a priority. But if too many of those things break down, the whole web's going to collapse. So we've talked a little bit about what balance isn't and what some of the big problems are. How do you start rethinking what balance is so that you can create it for yourself? You don't have to change your verbiage around it. We all know what we're wanting. We're wanting a feeling. But that's really what we're going for. Feeling good about your choices, who you are, the decisions you're making for yourself, whether you're able to prioritize the things that are truly priorities to you, whether you're able to be present in the moment when you're with your children, when you're with your spouse, when you're with friends, whether you're able to be present in the moment with yourself, when you're taking care of yourself and trying to do things for you, whether you're able to be present in the moment at work so that you can fully focus on the work at hand and not be worrying about the fight you had with your kid that morning. So we're talking not so much about quantity, we're talking a lot more about quality. And when we really get down to it, instead of looking at amount of time, you're looking at how you choose to spend your time. It's about your choices. It's about understanding what you want out of your life, knowing what your priorities are, and then choosing to prioritize those things. This is how you create balance. How you choose to spend your time is more important than the quantity of time, the amount of time. Get away from the seesaw. Stop equalizing. Now, again, quantity does matter. It's not zero, but quality is even more important. And if you start focusing on quality, you're going to be able to create enough time for those other things so that you feel good. So let's go a little bit deeper, because in order to create balance and ensure you're making the right choices, you kind of need a roadmap. You need to understand, well, what are the right choices? How do I make those decisions? And one of the things that was very telling for me that I discovered while I was practicing law and mentoring fellow attorneys around this topic, and that I've continued to see in my coaching, is that the common complaints people tend to have when they don't feel balanced and are desperately looking for it are very telling. They're kind of your roadmap for how to create balance for yourself. So let's go over those really quickly. One of the biggest complaints that I have heard over and over again is not feeling fulfilled. And there are a lot of different ways people express this. So you might think of it as wanting to have more meaning in life, wanting to make a bigger impact in some way, shape, or form on the world or on individual people, wanting more purpose, wanting to regain your passion. There's a lot of lawyers out there who choose this career with real purpose and passion behind it. But then we get caught up in kind of the daily grind of practicing law, of being pulled from one thing to another, of one emergency after another. And before we know it, we have lost sight of what that purpose and passion even was. We're not fulfilled. We're stuck. We're trapped. So that's the number one complaint. The second one I hear a lot are the people pleasers. Most people pleasers know they have a people pleasing problem. And so they say yes way more than they should. And it tends to get them overwhelmed, way too busy. And over time, they fall into the not fulfilled camp. And the reason is when you say yes to so many things, you're saying yes to other people's priorities, not yours. You end up crowding out your own. And so not only do you end up overwhelmed, overly busy, massively stressed, but you end up in that not fulfilled, no passion, no purpose camp pretty quickly. And then there's number three, and that's the do-it-allers. It's those of us, and I used to be in this camp, so don't feel bad if you're there. It's those of us who have fallen prey to the you can do it all. This is especially the case with women, but I do find there's a fair number of men who believe this as well. The verbiage tends to be a little bit different. They don't necessarily use the same language we women do, but they're trying to do too much. Obviously, you can't do it all. You end up not knowing what your priorities are, absolutely overwhelmed with way too much on your plate. And of course, just like the people pleasers, you end up in the not fulfilled camp. And I would ask a question of you if you've been trying to do and have it all. Why would you even want it? Like, think about it. It's as if you've been presented with a buffet full of food and you've been told you have to eat it all. Number one, you don't have the capacity to eat it all. And number two, you don't even like half of it. So why on earth would you want it all, right? So let's look behind the curtain a little bit. Why does this happen? Why are these complaints happening and why are they so common? Because I bet that you have at least one of these going on in your life. I definitely know. You know fellow attorneys who fall into one, two, or all three of these camps. We all know them, right? It's incredibly common. So what's going on? What's behind it? It's important to understand that to be able to find the solution. So number one, I think I mentioned this in a previous episode, but attorneys tend to be gold star collectors. We love to receive praise. We want to be seen as accepted. We care what other people think. And all of that kind of goes into we collect gold stars. And because of that, we are more likely to say yes even when we shouldn't and we don't have the capacity. We do not like to let people down and we do not want to be rejected either. All of that goes into that. And so there's that. We fear failure. We are very high achievers. This is part of that gold star, but there's a little bit of a difference too. We absolutely don't want to fail. And we often prioritize service to others above service to ourselves. Unfortunately, if you don't serve yourself, you can't serve others as effectively. And eventually it becomes unsustainable, right? And we're really good at following the rules. Really good. Which makes us follow all those shoulds. Oh, I should want this. Oh, I should do that. I should stay late tonight, even though I don't really have to, because the partner I'm working for, they're here late and they're going to see me leave. And what would they think? And they expect me to always be here. Oh, I should go to this networking event, even though I'm ill, even though I've been to 10 in the last couple of months, because I'm expected to be there. I can't take that time for myself. There's a million shoulds going on in our head. And a lot of this has to do with how we're trained as lawyers. We had that lawyer brain going on that I talked about in episode 2, and it instills a lot of shoulds. And this isn't unique to lawyers, FYI. A lot of people have this going on, but I do think that lawyers are a little bit special in this area. We do what others expect of us. And it's really important to understand this because you're never going to fix it if you don't get honest about what's showing up and what has you in this space of imbalance. So you understand balance isn't necessarily about equalizing time. You realize it's about making choices. You now have a better understanding of the things that are going on within your life that are making you feel so imbalanced, which happen to be incredibly common. What do you do about it? It's important to understand what balance really means. And this is where we can get into that now. So if you look at all of that, it's pretty clear. Feeling balanced is about, I like to categorize it into three main things. Category number one is purpose. Purpose. What is your purpose? Does life feel meaningful? Does your career feel meaningful? Are you making an impact? The second of those is peace. Peace of mind. Feeling more calm and confident around your choices. Not feeling stressed out all the time. Having control over your thoughts, being in the present moment, that's what's under the peace category. And category number three is feeling prosperous in time, energy, spirit, money, everything. We tend to think of prosperity only in terms of money, but it's not just that. You need to feel like you have enough energy to tackle everything, right? You need to have enough time to actually prioritize your priorities. You want to be prosperous in all of those things, not just in money, but in time and energy as well. So purpose, peace, prosperity are the three main categories that you need to focus on if you want to create balance in your life. So the question becomes, how do you get more purpose? How do you create peace of mind? How do you get to a place where you're prosperous in time, energy, spirit, as well as money? How do you do all of that? Well, unfortunately, I could have a million different podcasts to, you know, cover all facets of this. Fortunately, we'll be covering that in the future. But today I want to kind of give you a few guidelines for each about what it really means and how you can just get started. And I also have a resource for you that will help guide you on this journey. It's called the Life and Law Roadmap, and it gives you more in-depth discussion around how to deal with all of these issues, around how to be more balanced in both life and law. Regardless of whether you're in private practice, in-house, working with the government, doesn't matter. And how to get around that lawyer-trained brain that I talked about in the last episode so that you can be more present, so that you can manage your thoughts, so that you can take control over the things that you can take control of, because that is the foundation for making better choices. And you can grab that roadmap at lifeandlawpodcast.com. I will also have a link directly to it in the show notes. So let's dive a little deeper into what purpose means. How do you make your life more meaningful? How do you make a bigger impact? How do you regain that passion, that purpose you once hopefully felt? Or if you never did, how do you get it? Well, there's three things that really go into creating more purpose, more passion, more meaning in your life. Number one is to understand your values and live them. So your values are unique to you. Everybody has personal values. One of mine is to serve. The value of service was ingrained within me from a very young age by my grandparents. I mentioned that in episode one. And if I don't feel like I'm serving others to the best of my ability, I feel like something is just off. When you're not living your values, you don't feel fully you. You feel like something is off. And by living your values, life feels more content, like it's meant to be. You just know you're making the right decisions. Also, understanding and knowing your values can lead to making much better decisions. They are a really great compass for making big decisions in your lives. Because when you're faced with various scenarios and choices in how you want to develop your legal practice, or maybe if you want to move firms and you have two different offers and which one's good for you, your values are a great guide for choosing the right place, for choosing how to go about building your practice, for making the right choices for you. So let me give you a quick example of what I'm talking about when I say live your values, especially when it comes to using them as a guide or a compass for making decisions that lead to more happiness, more fulfillment, etc. So I have a client who originally came to me wanting to figure out how to progress more within his firm. And there was a notion that maybe it's the right place, maybe it's not. He wasn't really sure, but he came to me for that reason. And because he was so uncertain as to whether it was the right place for him, we talked about values. We talked about understanding what they are. And he was really interested in doing some work around that. So he did my values assessment and came back and said, you know, this is really interesting because I thought I knew my values. He'd done some work around it before with someone else. And what he realized was that a lot of the values he thought he had were really needs. And there is a difference between needs and values. They're both very important, but they're different. And so he felt very confident that I actually now understand my values, which was great. But then he followed up with but I don't understand how it's very relevant to me right now. And I thought that was incredibly interesting. I said, well, how so? Well, I don't know how to use these. You know, what do I do with them? How do I utilize them? And so we went through kind of some scenarios. So for example, goal setting. I definitely say that people need to utilize their values when setting goals. You want to make sure your goals align with your values and don't go astray. I also think it's very important to keep values front and center when making big decisions for your career, for your life. You know, look at your decision-making process and your opportunities on both sides of whatever that decision is with your values in mind. And he kind of got all that, but he still was like, not really sure, in all honesty. He's like, well, okay, I get that, but that's not very tangible. I still don't know how to use them. And I said, well, you know what? It's going to come up eventually, and it's probably going to come up sooner than you think. And I promise your values are going to be helpful to you. Something will come up for you. You will need to make a big decision, and they're going to be helpful to you. Okay, whatever, Heather. Lo and behold, within a couple of days, it actually did happen. He got a call out of the blue from someone who gave him an opportunity. It was an interesting, exciting, challenging opportunity, but there's risk involved. And so he wasn't really quite sure what the right decision was for him. And so he came to me, he was like, I have this decision, I need to make it soon. I wasn't even looking for it, and I just don't know what to do. And of course, we went through all of the typical things you go through. You know, we looked at the pros and the cons of staying versus leaving and going to this new opportunity. We looked at the risks associated with both. And FYI, there's always risks associated with both sides of the equation. We often tend to think of risk only in respect of looking at a change, but there's risk in staying oftentimes too. And so we looked at both of those things. And after looking at pros and cons and risks and rewards and looking at both sides, he started to get an inkling of, okay, this is more clear to me, but I'm still not quite sure how I want to, you know, which decision I want to make. I think I need to think on it for a couple of days. And I said, well, there's one more thing we need to do first. What's that, Heather? I was like, well, when looking at this decision, given everything that you've already listed here as pros and cons, risks and rewards, what does your gut say when you look at these opportunities on both sides through the lens of your values? And that's when it clicked for him. He's like, oh, wow, never thought of it that way. Now it becomes more clear. What was interesting is one of his values is connection, to connect deeply with people. And in the current place of employment, he liked the people. He got along fine with everybody there, but he didn't feel like he was connected in any deep way with anyone there. And certainly not with management. And that was definitely not going to be changing anytime soon, right? But when it came to the new opportunity, even though there was a lot of uncertainty and it was new and he didn't know how it's all going to play out, he already felt more connected to some of the people there. And so the decision that he wanted to make became much more clear, much more apparent to him. It became easier. And it was done in a way that made him feel content. And like, you know what, no matter what happens, I know that the right decision for me right now is to go make that jump, is to go try that out. Because this is actually not the right place for me. So that's a good example of how to utilize your values when making decisions and utilizing it as your compass or your guide. Number two is to utilize your strengths. Leverage your strengths. Every single person has their own unique inherent strengths. And I'm not talking about skills that you've developed. I'm talking about strengths. Like, what are your superpowers and how do you enjoy using them? When you utilize your strengths in the work you do, in your life, when helping others, life is more meaningful and you make a bigger impact. So learn to use your strengths. And if you don't know what your strengths are, ask people who know you best, family and friends, also colleagues. Think about what people come to you for when they come to you for advice. What is it you're really good at inherently? I have a client who is a natural collaborator. She collaborates so well, and she actually really reads people well. That's part of why she's so good, and she knows how to put teams together. So when working around her blueprint for how to develop and strengthen her business, collaboration is key. She's not a go-it-alone girl, and she is really good at identifying the right people to collaborate with who have different strengths than her and who are also our fellow collaborators. So use your strengths. And then third, prioritize connecting with others. Connection is a very undervalued thing these days. And I think hopefully with the pandemic, we're all learning how important it is. Human beings are meant to connect with other human beings. We are made for that. And it doesn't matter whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. You just connect in different ways. What does connecting with others mean to you? How do you like to connect with others? Ensure that's a priority always, both within your personal life and within your professional life. And I would say this, for private practice lawyers out there, make sure that your clients are people you truly connect with. You can't make a deep connection with everybody. So make sure that your clients are those that you do make a deeper connection with. You're going to have a much more fulfilling work life. All right. So those are some guidelines for getting started on creating more purpose in your life. How about peace? Peace of mind, being in the present moment, and also being at peace with your choices. Well, number one, you want to train your mind to be more present, and mindfulness works really well with that. You also want to rewire it to think differently. So if you haven't listened to episode number 2, I highly recommend you go back and listen to it because that got into how to rewire your mind to think differently, be less stressed, and take control of your thoughts. That's a big part of the peace component. Go back and listen to that. The other thing I would say is live your values. Yes. One of the things that goes into creating more purpose also brings more peace because when you align your goals around your values, when they are your compass for decision making, it gets a lot easier to know what your true priorities are. It becomes easier to say no to things because you identify what it is you want to say no to and why. There's a bigger reason behind it. So living your values is also a big way of creating that peace. And the third is prosperity. I'm not going to get into the money thing. Making more money comes when you do all these other things and make better choices. Because here's the thing. You can only do so much and there is only so much time in the day, right? One of the things I find in lawyers is we seem to be very proud of our multitasking abilities. And yet multitasking is a huge killer of time. You're not utilizing your time well. You're not being very productive. You're not being efficient when you multitask. You're just task switching all over the place. And when you multitask, you often don't prioritize very well because you're doing too many things. You can only have a couple of priorities at any given time, and you need to block out time for those priorities. So one of the ways to do, you know, to get more prosperity of time and energy is to prioritize properly. You have to identify what your true priorities are. And it's actually a lot easier to do once, we're going back to your values, y'all, you know your values because you can prioritize those things that help you live your values. The other thing that happens when you start prioritizing better is you start creating stronger boundaries. And you need them if you are going to feel prosperous in time and energy. Again, you can only stretch yourself so much. You don't want to stretch yourself. And one of your biggest priorities should be taking care of you. Self-care is important. So self-care, proper prioritization, and strong boundaries are three keys to creating more time and energy, to feeling more prosperous. And the funny thing is, once you start doing that, you're gonna make more money. And here's why. Because if your priority is to grow your practice and you identify those few things that are priorities for you and how to do it, and you grow it in a way where it's values-based, you utilize your strengths to help grow your practice, you are going to stay laser-focused on those things. You are going to become more consistent. That's how you gain traction and grow your business. And hence, you make more money. And this works too for in-house. When you see, okay, this is where I want to get to, it becomes more clear what your priorities should be, where you should put your energy, and you let go of all those other things. And so then you get seen by others as really good at something. You excel more in those areas, and people will take notice. So at the end of the day, balance isn't about equalizing a seesaw, but about making the right choices for you that help you feel more at peace with your decisions, that help you be more present in the moment, that help you make a bigger impact, that help you prioritize the things that are truly priorities to you and let go of all of those other things. I hope that you learned a lot today, that this really made you think and rethink what balance means so that you can start redefining it for yourself. It all starts within your own mind, right? You can't make those good choices if it doesn't start there. I do invite you to download the Life and Law Roadmap. That will help you get more clarity around how to do these things. Again, you can find that at lifeandlawpodcast.com. And I will have a link directly to it so that you can find it in the show notes. That is it for today. I will see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Life and Law Podcast. If you enjoyed this week's episode and aren't yet a subscriber, be sure to hit the subscribe button so that you don't miss an episode. For show notes and free resources to help you succeed in both life and law, including the Life and Law Roadmap, visit lifeandlawpodcast.com.